here's your host, Dave Archer and Wes Durham.
And a good afternoon. Welcome to Victory Monday at Flowery Branch. Atlanta picked up their third win of the year in overtime yesterday in Toronto. They beat the Bills 34-31 with Dave Archer, Wes Durham, and the Falcon head coach Mike Smith will be here shortly. And then the number one pick of Atlanta in last April's draft, cornerback Desmond Trufant from the University of Washington, will be here to join us in our players segment. Always nice to be here on a Monday, and in particular one that they get yesterday in overtime, 34-31, Arch.
Yeah, it was a good win. There was a lot of things that kind of bounced the Falcons' way. I thought there were some things that went against them, but yep. The thing that was kind of cool about it is that they hung in there. You go three and out your first two series of the game. Your quarterback sacked in back-to-back series.
Right.
And the next thing you know, you look up and you're down 14-0. You've given up an explosion play to C.J. Spiller, and things didn't look good at all. But this football team didn't hang their head. They came out down 14-0. Matt Ryan drove them down the football field, got some good solid running. And I think that was the biggest thing, was the fact that they hung together and showed some perseverance to allow themselves to win on the road.
Yeah, you talked about it. The ball game stands at 14-0. An E.J. Manuel run, a Fred Jackson run, and then all of a sudden Steven Jackson shoots through 27 yards to make it 14-7. And they'd get a Carpenter field goal, and then two big plays in the last 5 minutes of the first half. Coach Smith seemed to skew that momentum and get it back going to your favor. Not only the great run by Antone Smith, but Matt Bryant's 49-yard field goal there at the horn doesn't need to get lost either.
Yeah, we were very resilient in the ball game yesterday in terms of I don't know where you guys have talked about, but being down 14-0, yep. And then even to score in the first half, we had the ball first and goal on the half-yard line, and we end up scoring on 3rd and 12.
Right.
Yeah.
So I mean, we got knocked back on a first down. Then we had a penalty, had a misstep, and our quarterback got stepped coming out underneath the center. We lose yardage there. Then we have the delay of game penalty. And show the resiliency to score on a 3rd and 12. Just says a bunch about our guys.
Well, Smitty, you played. You got a lot of people in the game, and I know it was a concerted effort to play some guys, and especially up front, you were able to change out some guys. I know you wanted to see a lot of people in a lot of different situations and still win the football game was paramount in your mind. But whoever was plugged in did a relatively good job.
Yes, and we played that ball game to win it. Obviously, that's the number one goal. But we felt like there's some guys that have worked extremely hard in practice and deserve an opportunity to go out there and play. And Ryan Schrader was one of them. We used Ryan at our jumbo tight end to start the ball game when we were wanted to have six offensive linemen in the game. And then he rotated in at the offensive tackle position. And I think he ended up with close to 30 snaps in the ball game on the offensive side. And we need to get Ryan some game experience, because we feel like he's got a chance to be a good player, and we'll continue to do that through these last four games or the last quarter of the season.
Coach, it also speaks, I guess, and we're going to talk about this because our Defend the Dome question later in this half hour relates to this, of playing younger guys in the combination with veterans to get those younger guys some experience and snaps. And I made the comment to Dave yesterday in particular about Ryan Schrader, but it's certainly applicable to other guys. As you go through seasons like this, effort to win, practice to win, prepare to win, you still got to find out kind of what you got here, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. You've got to know your roster, and this gives you an opportunity to play some guys and see how they're going to handle the real game situations. And some of the young guys that we've given that opportunity have handled it extremely well. Even though we haven't necessarily got the wins that we wanted, we've been able to get some experience with some young players.
Does then it also have additional impact that you run the ball as well as you do yesterday while you're kind of mixing and matching some of this stuff in the offensive front?
Yeah, and again, I think competition is crucial. And right now we've got some competitive situations at a number of positions. It's a little bit different situation than years past, where you're playing this, you know, the same guys because you're having success. When you don't have success, we need to find out who we have and what they're capable of doing. And the guys that have had the opportunity to play have done a nice job. And we'll continue to give some other guys some chances as we move forward.
Smitty, you've said repeatedly that, and rightly so, you've got to play football regardless of what circumstances or hand you're dealt. You've had a number of big-time injuries, and guys have tried to play through injuries, but it does all of a sudden illuminate all of a sudden when Steven Jackson is healthy and can run the football, and Roddy White is healthy and can go catch the football for you, the impact those two guys can have in a game.
Well, it was nice to see Roddy come back. It was definitely his most productive game of the season. He's getting close to being the Roddy that we're used to seeing. I still don't believe he's 100%. He won't be 100% this season, but he has fought through a lot, and it was great to see him contribute and help us win a ball game.
You talk about explosion plays. I know you were concerned you had some of them yesterday, but you also had forced turnovers, something that had kind of been plaguing you, not been able to generate turnovers. You generated a couple yesterday, albeit on the back end of some explosion plays,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, Wes, we had too many explosive plays. There were six explosive plays for 214 yards. There's always a light of hope, because on two of those explosive plays there in the fourth quarter, we turned the ball over, and they were critical turnovers. We were able to get the ball out. Big plays by William and Bobby Mack and punching the ball out. So that was a positive. But we've got to fit the run better. We didn't tackle as well as we needed to. You can't give up 77-yard runs and 28-yard screen passes and 30-yard runs for touchdowns. We've got to be much better on the defensive side of the ball. We were fortunate to get the win.
But Smitty, we hadn't seen. I guess we had to look at the record book to see how far we had to go back to find three rushing touchdowns in a game. I mean, you're a team that's had tremendous prowess throwing the ball, and you mix in a run touchdown here. They had to go back all the way to January of 2012, the last time he had three rushing touchdowns in a game. With all the interchangeable parts that you were trying to look at on the offensive line and running the football, and then you couple that with the practice and preaching the same things, how important was it for you to have some success and actually get a W, knowing that you've seen some good things, but actually having to be able to post the W at the end of the day?
Oh, it's very important. It's validation of the work that the guys have done on the practice field. We've been emphasizing certain things in our run schemes, and when it happens there out on the field and it helps us win a football game, it just validates it. So it's going to be much easier to go in and make the corrections with the players when they come back on Wednesday. And believe me, there's a lot of corrections that need to be made. We ran the ball effectively, but we still had too many minus yardage runs. There were some what I call Sandy Koufax's no-hitters, where we missed some guys at the point of attack, not only in the run game but in the pass game and our pass protection as well.
A challenging defense in the fact that they're in your face all day long. They came up and challenged your outside guys. They tried to create some problems with their stunts, with their linebackers and the things on the inside. Were there some things, and I would assume that every weekend you get a couple unscouted scenarios there. I'm sure they caught you with a couple of those maybe.
Well, they did. The thing that we had, the numbers on the sacks, we gave up six sacks. One was the mishandled snap down on the goal line. That goes down as recorded as a sack, where our quarterback got stepped on coming out from underneath the center. Then we had two that we basically mis-ID'd and didn't block anybody. So those three, and really we gave up three sacks, physically giving up sacks. But we did have too much pressure. I felt like that that's a group that rushes the passer extremely well. We held up for the most part. We held up when we needed to, and that was at the end of the ball game, and Matt was able to spin it and get it into the hands of our playmakers.
There was a big moment in the game when you're up 24-17. You've got the football and an opportunity maybe to extend the lead as you start your series in your own end, and you get a fumble snap on the ground. Did you find out what happened there?
Yeah, we snapped the ball on early, and it was miscommunication on when the ball was supposed to be snapped. So it was snapped early, so it was mishandled. And then we didn't handle that sudden change very well defensively on the first play. They ran a screen play. Mm-hmm. We misleveraged it early in the down, didn't get it turned back in, and then we had a missed tackle on the perimeter. And those are the momentum changes in the last 4 weeks, in the last month, that we haven't been able to overcome. So it was great to see the guys overcome come that. You know, and one of the things that I talked to the team about on Friday and Saturday is that regardless of what your record is, mm-hmm. whether you're 2-9 or 9-2, you're going to be defined basically by what you do in the last month of the season. If you're in a playoff run, you're going to go in and be defined that you made the playoffs and what you did in the last month of the season. We're going to be defined by what we do in the last month of the season, and we need to start playing efficient, effective football, which will help us finish strong and lead us into next season. So it really doesn't matter. When you get to the end of the season, whatever your record is, if you really think about it, that's how you've got to approach it, and I think our guys have a great mindset in that.
Well, you're off to a real good start in the month of December. On the first day of the month, the Falcons get an overtime win over Buffalo. We'll come back, talk more about the victory yesterday in Toronto, by the way, and also set the table for Sunday's trip up to Green Bay to meet the Packers as well. Don't forget Pizza Hut's $10 deal is back, perfect for the ball game tonight with the Saints and Seahawks out in Seattle. Any pizza, any toppings, just $10. Carry out only at your locally owned and operated Pizza Hut. When we come back, more from the head coach of the Falcons with Dave Archer, Wes Durham, and the Mike Smith Coaches Show from Flowery Branch continues after this on 7-9 The Zone.
Anton Smith running left, got the block, 25-20, forget about it, touchdown Atlanta. Are you kidding? Jairus Byrd, I don't know what you're thinking, because once he gets open, Arch, gone.
NFL Mobile from Verizon. Call Star NFL to get NFL Mobile. You get live games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. In fact, you'll get NFL Red Zone. You would have seen Antone's touchdown with NFL Red Zone from NFL Mobile. Live 24/7 coverage of the NFL. You can upgrade to just $5 a month. NFL Mobile, Star NFL from Verizon only.
Antone Smith's touchdown runs our SunTrust Bank shining play of the game. SunTrust, how can we help you shine today? And back with Falcon head coach Mike Smith. I like the ratio on Antone Smith, huh? Seemingly something every time, doesn't it?
When he touches the ball, good things have happened for us. That was a well-blocked play, and Antone's speed, I don't believe if we were playing flag football that they would have pulled his flag. I really believe.
Smitty, could we, and I said this just a little bit ago on the show, I said, could we have put Jerry Kramer in the position of maybe Justin Blaylock and maybe a Forrest Gregg in the position of Lamar Holmes, and all of a sudden here comes Paul Hornung, because that looked like seal here, run the ball in the alley. That was old-school football, wasn't it?
Old school. There was a funnel there, and we had to kick the kick-out block, the seal block, and he was gone. So it was good. You know, Antone's been – he's one of those guys. No, not that he's a rookie, but he's been working hard, especially on special teams. Everybody knows what he's capable of doing in that phase, but he is showing that he can make some explosive plays on the offensive side.
So, I mean, how hard is it, real quickly, on Antone Smith to finish up there, mm-hmm. how hard is it when you've got some weapons that make play? We saw Steven Jackson make a guy miss. He had a guy completely unblocked in the hole, yeah. sidesteps him and runs for a touchdown. We've seen Quiz make plays, little shovel passes inside, make people miss. How hard is it to get packages and get the guys on the field knowing that you've got some guys that are explosive?
Well, it's a challenge. We've got a number of guys that can make plays, and there's only so many snaps in a ball game, and you have to see how the flow of the ball game's going, how they're trying to defend you, and really who's going to get the touches. It was good to see Steven Jackson get some significant carries because he gets stronger as the game goes on, and the long touchdown run that you talked about on short yardage. They were crowding the line of scrimmage. They had one more than we had. We knew that was going to be the case. We felt like that we, worst-case scenario, we would run over the unblocked defender and be able to get the first down. We were just calling that play to get the first down. Lo and behold, he sidesteps it, and he's gone.
Yeah.
But there's lots of guys that, deserve opportunities to touch the ball, and some games it's going to be skewed differently based on how they're defending this and what our game plan is as well.
Coach, when you start looking at, and Dave brings up the interesting point as it relates to Anton Smith, you talked about consistency and playing with some consistency. Yesterday we saw consistency in the run game, and realistically we've seen it for a couple games. It didn't produce a win against New Orleans, but you ran the ball better. Ran the ball better yesterday with different guys. So are you starting to see a little bit here in the last 2 weeks? And where do you think it's being built, given some of the variances you're using?
Well, I think it's built first in the offensive line. You've got to be able to cover guys up and win the line of scrimmage. And you do that by moving your feet on contact. And I think our guys have done a nice job doing that for the most part. When we know who – when we get on the right guy, we've been able to get some movement. And then we do have, in my mind, four guys that can touch the football and be productive. We haven't mentioned – you mentioned Steven and you mentioned Jaquez, but Jason Snelling, his one touch was very, very productive as well. So we've got to continue to work, and it's easy to go out and coach it when it happens in the practice field and you're able to validate it on the playing field. And that's what I think we've done, and we've just got to continue to build on that. We run the football effectively. It's going to help our passing game. It's going to help us protect the quarterback. This is the time of the year when you have to be able to run the football.
Smitty, because you've had some veteran players that have been here with you through the success, and one of those guys is Jonathan Babineau. I just don't think he gets enough credit for how disruptive he can be up front. I'm trying to push him. I'm trying to get the fan to vote. I want the fan to vote to get Jonathan Babineau's name and solidly on that ballot for the Pro Bowl. I think he deserves to be over there, as disruptive as he is. I know a number of fans have asked, as he goes from a 4-3 defensive end for you in some run package situations to sliding inside and is a disruptive force on the inside. His versatility and what he brings to the table. And there was also a sign where he was down the sidelines talking to some of the young linemen, too, as a kind of a mentor.
Oh, Jonathan's he's one of the leaders of our team. He's not only in the defensive line, but he's an elder statesman that everyone pays attention to when he speaks. He does have versatility for us in our packages, and Coach Noel and his staff do a great job with the multiplicity from base to sub, but he can line up really anywhere from the nose tackle all the way out to a nine technique, which is lining up outside the tight end. So he's got the ability to line up on the center, the guard, the tackle, or the tight end. So he's got a lot of flexibility. He is a disruptive player. He makes lots of plays in the offensive backfield because he's very good at penetrating. A lot of it has to do with his quickness and his agility, because he can change direction very quickly.
We've talked about the younger guys, principally offensive line guys, like Ryan Schrader and Lamar Holmes and those guys helping you out. Jonathan Masquas, second-year guy. We've seen more reps from him. Who are some of the guys that are kind of catching your eye a little bit as this season moves on that side of the ball? I know Paul Warlow, Joplo Bartu have kind of become, even for rookies, staples a little bit of what you're doing. But it seems Masquas has really developed into a real nice player here for you.
Yeah, Jonathan has done a good job for us this season, not only on defense but on special teams. He's really done some good things in our cover units. Kickoff coverage comes to mind. He's going down, running down. He's a big guy that creates some matchup issues in terms of running through wedges. Mm-hmm. He's kind of taken the role of Croy Bierman in some of our sub packages, and he's done a nice job there, and he's playing hard. I like his effort. He's done a very very nice job. It's good to see Malachi Goodman continue to to get playing time. I believe he was right under 20 snaps in the game yesterday. 19 would have been more. We had plans for him to play more, but we had such an advantage in time of possession yesterday that their offensive snaps were down. He's doing a good job for us. We've got some extended playing time with Robert Alford. I think he had almost 36 snaps in the ball game as well. They kind of went after him a couple of times when he was in a situation of a backed-up play, and they threw the ball deep.
Yeah, so, yeah, try to get the rookie receiver
that can run, and he was able to – he was able to stay in phase with him. So, you know, and then Robert, you know, had the big fumble recovery there.
Any discussions after the, on any, the back end of that?
Any discussions?
The lateral,
yeah,
the lateral?
We talked about it.
How'd that work? We'll talk about that.
We'll talk. Yeah, no, he understands. Robert does, and Robert was just trying to make a play. Fortunately for us, it did not cost us. No. But that's not something that you know that we practice. And he understands. You know, it's a little different situation when you're in overtime.
Well, we've
in the regular game.
We've all practiced that play. It was just when we were in sixth or seventh grade, we're on the schoolyard. So we've all practiced. Smitty,
I figured both of them might have some option quarterback in their history or something. Wanted to work it out.
You've got so many young people players playing, and I think the fan hears about it. The so-called rookie wall. Does it exist in your mind? And how do you combat, because of so many young players playing, how do you keep that from affecting you here in the fourth quarter of the season?
It definitely exists. I think that you can combat it, and you can help the guys by making them aware of it back in week one, two, three. We talk about how we practice, how we meet, how we try to work on recovery, and we talk about if you go to bed 30 minutes earlier every day of the week, you're going to have 3.5 hours, and if you multiply that by 10, that's 35 hours. So you're going to get a day and almost a day and a half of extra, you know, of extra sleep through that 10 weeks by just going with 30 minutes. And it's important for the guys. And there's plans with their diet. We talk about the foods that they eat. And then the recovery after practice. We have recovery shakes, recovery modalities where they'll spend 30 minutes in the weight room, basically in a weight or in the training room in a weightless state, relaxing their muscles.
Wow. Man. So it's that hay for the most part's in the barn as far as being ready for the fourth quarter. You guys already put that in place, but I know you got to continue what you've been doing, but that's something you've discussed all the way to this point. And so if they've heeded your warnings and taken advantage of what you talked about, they're in a good spot.
They should be. And again, at the end of the season too, there's challenges with the holidays, as we all know. With Thanksgiving and Christmas, those are not days off for the NFL. They're very important time of the season. The final quarter of the season is important for every team in the league.
Well, on Sunday, Atlanta will be up at Green Bay for a 1 o'clock start, and the Packers are 0-4-1 in their last five. And, Coach, it started when their quarterback got injured against the Chicago Bears, and they forced a tie against the Minnesota Vikings a couple weeks ago and then lost Thanksgiving Day to Detroit, and all week long is going to be speculation about the Green Bay quarterback and his health. I got to believe, regardless of whether it's Aaron Rodgers, Bart Starr, or whoever, Don Majkowski on Sunday, you got to prepare for the Green Bay Packers.
Yes, we do, and we're going to anticipate until somebody tells us different that Aaron Rodgers is going to be playing this week. That's how you have to go about this, and I think it would be in their best interest to make sure that it's Sunday at 11 o'clock when the inactives are turned in for them to really tell us who's going to be on their 46-man roster. So we're going to have to spend the week preparing for Aaron Rodgers, who has a Super Bowl ring. He can spin the ball. He's one of the elite quarterbacks in all of football. So it will be a big challenge for us, and they're running the ball much better this year with Eddie Lacy. He's a big, strong back out of Alabama, and I think Coach McCarthy is committed to getting his touches. I think he's over 800 yards rushing before this last ball game, and he's a guy that if you don't get multiple pads on, he'll run over you, and we didn't tackle as well as we needed to this past week against the Buffalo Bills. And didn't play the run like we need to.
All right, Coach, thanks as always. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you, guys.
By the way, Falcons head coach Mike Smith brought to us each week by Ford. Don't forget you can submit a question by going to defendthedome.com. Our winner this week, of course, was Mark from Atlanta. He'll get a $50 gift card to the NFLshop.com. Stay tuned. Desmond Trufant in the player profile segment right after this.
The throw, across the field, caught Stevie Johnson. He fumbled the ball, and William Moore recovered it. stepped out of bounds at the 28-yard line. And for Atlanta's defense, just their third fumble recovery of the year. Holy smokes.
Make sure you take advantage of Verizon Edge's new plan to let you get a 4G LTE phone when you want it with no down payment, no upgrade fees, no long-term service contract, only for Verizon. Check out Verizon Edge.
Back with Dave Archer at Flowery Branch, West Durham. Desmond Trufant set to join us here shortly in the Mike Smith Coaches Show player segment on Victory Monday at Flowery Branch. Nice to be here and look forward to Green Bay on Sunday. AT&T's countdown to kickoff with J.P. Peterson and Alger Crumpler starts our coverage at 11 a.m. And then Arch and I and John on the sideline, bound up like Admiral Byrd going up the North Slope. We'll join you at 1 o'clock with the start from Lambeau Field.
Yeah, it'll be a little chilly, and I guess if you're going to go to Green Bay, that's the way it's supposed to be.
Absolutely.
I had a chance to play in the building. It's an electric place.
It's a bigger place now, too.
Yeah, they've expanded it. It's in the middle of nowhere, it seems like. You drive in the country, and all of a sudden here you are at the town of Green Bay, and the stadium's right there, and it truly is it's a community-owned club. But they're problems, and you alluded to this with Coach Smith, directly stem. They were 5-2, I believe, when Aaron Rodgers went down. They have lost four games of the five they've played. One's a tie.
Yep.
And Aaron Rodgers, and speaking to some of the people in the medical community about Aaron Rodgers, he's five weeks away from the collarbone break. Had they plated the collarbone, then most doctors will sign off on a 5 to 6 week process of coming back from that. They did not plate the collarbone. The collarbone was allowed to heal on its own. Most people guys that have handle that kind of situation from a medical community will say that process is an 8 to 9 week process.
Yep.
As far as healing it and feeling comfortable about a guy being back in contact. So you couple that with the fact that they're potentially rushing him back, and the fact the field's going to be frozen. It's one thing to play on a natural grass field, and there's a little bit of give in the ground. You're going to be playing on a frozen field for the most part up there. It will truly be the frozen tundra. I don't think Aaron Rodgers plays in the game.
No, I don't either. But we've got to have this song and dance all week.
Well, you will, and Mike McCarthy, it does him good to be able to do that because he can play that. But I think the Falcons – we didn't talk to Smitty about this, and I'll ask him this question on Wednesday, and you'll be able to hear that on Countdown to Kickoff coming up on the Atlanta Falcon Radio Network on Sunday. There'll be a difference as to how you attack Matt Flynn as opposed to attacking Aaron Rodgers.
Absolutely, right.
And fortunately for this, Smitty, unfortunately, however you want to look at it, he's had a chance to look at Aaron Rodgers a couple times, has a pretty good idea how Mike McCarthy wants to call the game with Aaron in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously the differential will be Eddie Lacy in the mix and a little bit more of the run orientation they've tried to go to help these other quarterbacks.
The scenario facing Green Bay here is gotten a little interesting because you've got Detroit at 7-5, Chicago at 6-6, and the tie with Minnesota really is the fly in the ointment, so to speak, here for Green Bay because they're 5-6-1. They're essentially 2.5 back of Detroit and 1.5 back of Chicago in this.
Yeah, and you have to play Chicago in Chicago. You lost to Chicago on your own field, so you're going to have to go to Chicago. I believe that's in week 17 of the season. I believe they closed the season out with Chicago.
Yeah, and they played Detroit somewhere in that late stage too, don't they? So they've got Detroit later in the year as well. So you're looking at Green Bay, and where this kind of fits for Green Bay is interesting because of the way the scenario goes down to the end of the season. But, yeah, I'm with you on this. I see a lot of different kind of elements coming into play here for the Packers as it relates to Atlanta's ball game on Sunday at 1 o'clock. And AT&T's countdown to kickoff does get us started at 11 a.m. with J.P. Peterson and Algie Crumpler. Great to have Desmond Trufant in the players segment of the Mike Smith Coaches Show here on a Monday at Flowery Branch. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Good. Nice to be here after a win, huh?
Yeah, definitely. Feels good.
You guys, little excitement there at the end yesterday?
Oh, yeah. It was a crazy game. We fought back. You know, that was a big thing I noticed. You know, they got us down early, but we just kept fighting. So it was good.
Des, I just asked Coach Smith about the supposed rookie wall and does it exist and what do you do to combat that? And he says we talk about them from the beginning of the season on. Is that something that you took to heart? And you see, the thing that you had in your pocket is you got your brothers that played in the league, so they kind of probably have dropped some knowledge on you. Is it something that you feel, having played college ball last year, that here you are in week 13 of the NFL season, essentially almost playing two college seasons back to back?
Well, yeah, body's definitely sore, but that just comes with it. That just comes with the territory. I think, you know, if you're strong mentally and know, you know, that you got to work harder every week, you know, I think, you know, you can avoid it. You know, if you succumb and, you know, think that it's going to happen, you're going to hit the wall, then most likely you're going to hit it. But, you know, I just keep working. I don't even try to think about it, you know.
Impressive play yesterday, and you made a lot of plays in the game yesterday to help your team win the game. I think one that resonates with the fans early in the game is C.J. Spiller, one of the faster players in the league, breaks clean, and you walk him down inside the 10-yard line. I know it's just something you react to and do. Do you work on speed? Is that something you work on? Or are you more working on technique at playing corner? What do you do and to be able to make a play like that?
Well, as a corner or the secondary in general, you know, we're the last line of defense. You know, that's how the coaches teach us. So, you know, when something breaks, you know, it's our job to, you know, to try to go get it. So that it was just a natural instinct. But, you know, I'm always working on technique and speed. And, you know, I've been blessed, you know, with the gifts I have, you know, to be able to run. But, you know, secondary, you know, we got to be the last line of defense. So that was just my reaction.
You had a lot of different exchanges and experiences here through the first, 12 weeks of the season. Can you kind of quantify what this has been like from start to finish? I mean, you know, go out on the field in the first game at the Superdome, get an interception midway through the season, now making big plays. What's this experience been like?
It's been great. You know, it's been hard. It's definitely been hard work. You know, obviously, you know, we're not where we want to be as a record standpoint. But, you know, I think it's made me stronger, you know, because, you know, I had to continue to fight, you know, regardless of what the situation is going on in the game. Got to continue to fight, continue to get better every week. And, you know, it's been a great experience. I've definitely learned a lot. You know, like you said, I've made some plays, you know, made some mistakes as well, too, that I've learned from. So I'm going to just continue to grow, continue to learn. And that's all I can do at this point.
What's been the toughest matchup for you? I know that you had some pretty good matchups with Vincent Jackson. He's a tough guy, 6'5", 235 pounds. But you've had a lot of matchups this year. Has there been one that stuck out in your mind that was difficult and you learned the most from?
I think Larry Fitzgerald was pretty good matchup. I've watched him, you know, for years go at it with my brother, you know, so that was kind of cool going against him. But, yeah, I would say him, Steve Smith was pretty good. Seattle's core receivers were pretty good. So I feel like every week, you know, it's a matchup that somebody, you know, they're threatening you, you know, so you got to step up every week.
How quickly did you have to shove that out of your mind that you were, and maybe because of your brothers, it was a little bit easier for you than maybe Robert offered. But all of a sudden you look up, you know, you break the huddle, and you're standing out there, and you look up, and Larry Fitzgerald's standing right there. Now, it helped that Julio Jones and Roddy White helped you, I guess, in training camp. Mm-hmm. But what was that like? How quickly did you have to shove that out of your mind and go play ball?
Honestly, like you say, immediately, first day of training camp, going against Julio Jones and Roddy White, you know, that was my wake-up call from the beginning, you know, and I still haven't seen nobody, you know, quite like Julio, you know, so I'm thankful to go against guys like that. But, you know, I'm a competitor. You know, regardless of who I'm going against, I believe that I'm going to win every snap. So, you know, I don't even look at it in that way.
Desmond, when you go through this stuff and you have the Fitzgerald, Steve Smith, those guys, how do you process it? I mean, you know, back in the day, Tony Gwynn used to watch tape of pitchers and make notes. I mean, is it something you look in film when you go back and watch the tape and then all of a sudden do you make notes, put it away, say, okay, next time I see Steve Smith, I'll have at least some body of work as to what he likes to do.
Yes, definitely. That just comes with the week of preparation, you know, watching film, you know, looking at their tendencies, looking at the whole group's tendencies and what the offense likes to do, what they're good at, what they're not good at, what they do in certain situations. So I definitely keep a notebook on each individual receiver, what they're good at, how they release. Are they aggressive? Are they good blockers? You know, just things like that.
Sure.
And that definitely helps.
How big a role is tape in that?
big role. You know,
I mean, there's playing them, and then there's watching them on tape, and then having to face them in a game, and then putting it down, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, you obviously got to get a feel of the person once you go against them, but film is big. You know, once that's how you gotta know your opponent, you know, to beat them. And I watch a lot of film. I pride myself on that since college days. You know, film. Mentally, you know, I try to be right because I know physically I can match up with guys, but if I'm right mentally, you know, that can put me a step ahead.
You probably had a working catalog of Robert Woods before yesterday, though, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I knew all his – I knew exactly what he was going to do.
He wasn't fooling you, right?
Yeah, but Stevie Johnson, he's pretty good. I should have said him. He's a pretty good receiver as well, too, so I was impressed with him.
Any conversation with Woods, the former USC wide receiver?
Yeah, a little bit. We played each other for 3 years, mm-hmm. I believe. So you know, it was kind of fun seeing guys that I played against. In the past.
What's it been like now? You when you came here, I think that you had a pretty good – I know you had to compete, but there was a pretty good thought, I think, around the organization that Desmond Trufant was going to start at corner on this football team. Okay? That's why they went and got you. They had a lot of respect for you. Obviously, that's played out. But I don't think that you necessarily thought when you looked around by midseason and there was six rookies standing on the field at the same time. What's that been like to kind of grow up together? You guys gotten together and talked about that at all? I mean, growing up together in the season?
Yeah, we have. It's been big. You know, we've had injuries in certain places for whatever reason. And, you know, some of the other rookies, they've had to step up, and they've done a great job. Like you said, it's six or seven of us out there, you know, making impact plays, and that's big. And we're just confident. We believe in ourselves. You know, we feel like we're here for a reason, and we're just trying to fulfill our destiny.
You know, it's been kind of interesting. You start out, Robert. Y'all played early, and then all of a sudden, slowly but surely, here come some other guys on the field. I know they have the rookie club. You guys do stuff in the community and things like that during the course of the season. Now that rookie club is not just the community relations stuff, it's the playing business,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you guys have gotten to be pretty tight, I got to believe, by just the sheer number of guys that have played this year.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we're a tight-knit group since day one. You know, everybody's been competing. You know, that's what Coach Smith said from the beginning. You know, no matter what round you're drafted in or where you're at rank-wise on the team, you know, you can – if the best players are going to play, so – No, we just been competing since day one.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll come back with more with Desmond Trufant. By the way, you know about your coach today?
I heard. I just found out about
Unbelievable,
it.
Unbelievable, huh? Unbelievable?
Yeah.
Do you think Steve Sarkisian would leave UW and go back to Southern Cal?
I mean, he's from there,
yeah.
You know, and he was there previously for
sure.
6 or 7 years, I believe. So,
yeah.
So I mean, it's not that surprising to me, but just the fact that he was my coach there at UW for 4 years, you know, it's kind of surprising. But,
yeah.
You know, I wish him the best, definitely.
All right, we'll come back talk a little bit about the Pac-12. Art, you know they play football out there now at the Pac-12.
They play some good football.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. We got to get Desmond Trufant's Pac-12 influence in the SEC and the ACC. We'll do all that and more when we continue. Don't forget, coming up, the Ackerman Security Defensive Player of the Game. We'll look at yesterday's defense, brought to you by Ackerman Security. Protect your home and family for $18.95 a month. Monitoring fee, no cost to switch. Online right now at AckermanSecurity.com. Back after this.
The catch at the 40, bumble the ball. It is loose, and it will be recovered. Robert Alford. What is he doing? Oh, my heavens, he lateraled it to Desmond Trufant. Here's Trufant back into Buffalo territory. Holy smokes! What was Robert Alford doing?
Well, that's a couple rookies trying to make a play.
Call Star NFL to download NFL Mobile now, and you won't miss any of those kind of plays. That's Wes Durham making a call on the Atlanta Falcon Radio Network. Experience NFL football on Verizon's 4G LTE phone. NFL Mobile, built to bring you the game.
All right, Desmond Trufant's here with us, of course, in the Mike Smith Coaches Show player segment on a Monday at Flowery Branch. What were y'all doing?
Man, I seen the ball in the ground. I was on the other side of the field, so I just sprinted over there, you know. And it happened in slow motion. I swear it did. And then, you know, once I got the ball, I just ran, you know.
So. Yeah, he was trying to get you the ball and make a block and all that kind
what
of stuff.
What was this, option quarterback stuff?
Yeah, I mean, we work on it in practice. I mean, maybe not for that exact situation, but every day we work on it in practice, lateraling and having fun with it, you know. So it was probably just a natural instinct for him.
I told Schmitty, I said, we just had Schmitty in here just a little bit ago, and I said, we've all worked on that play when we were 6 and 7 years old in the yard, right? Throwing the ball around, pitching the ball. Plus, with your brothers, I'm sure you guys had a few. Desmond Trufant with us here on the player portion of the Mike Smith Show here on Sports Radio 790 The Zone. Des, how much do you pay attention to what's going on in college? Wes talked a little bit about the Pac-12 and how good a conference that's become. Hey, do you stay really close in contact? What's going on at UW and what's going on in the Pac-12 and everywhere in the country?
Yeah, I've definitely been following UW. Try to record every game and watch them because, you know, those are my brothers out there. I was just with those guys, you know, competing, battling. So, you know, I definitely watch them. And I watch other teams as well, too. I'm just a big fan of the sport in general.
Tell us about your guy, Sankey.
Oh, yeah. Sankey Bishop, he's a great guy. You know, real humble.
It's an amazing story about his grandfather,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, uh-huh, uh-huh.
Being able to watch him play now after having the eye surgery?
Yeah, that's big. You know, very strong believer in God type of guy. And, you know, he's like my little brother. You know, he's been working. Relentless work ethic. Works really hard, and it's paying off for him.
Yeah, what kind of Bishop Sankey in the draft now. That's easy, a baller.
Well, I was going to ask you, how big a guy is he? Because he plays pretty big. Mm-hmm. But I don't think they list him at 220 or, I mean, they list him, what, 215, something like that?
He's stocky guy. I don't know exactly how tall he is, but he's stocky, he's strong, he's explosive. You know, he can change direction like a corner, you know, at the running back position. So, you know, I definitely got to look out for him.
Well, he's a little bit like the guy you guys played this weekend, C.J. Spiller.
Mm-hmm.
Same
yeah.
type of player.
Yeah, great similar.
Can run and do those kind of things.
Desmond, when you look at the change, and obviously – you know, your family with a tremendous amount of talent to play sports, but in particular football success that all the Trufants have had. Now the opportunity to come to this part of the country and play. What's the carryover effect? You play out in the Northwest. You grew up in Tacoma. You play at UW. Marcus played at Wazoo. But now to come to this part of the country to see this sport on this stage, is it different for you?
Yeah, definitely. Just to the environment is totally different. You know, I'm coming from rainy days, you know, gray skies.
Days like today?
Yeah, but, I mean, it's majority of the year out there, you know. And when I first got out here, you know, it was hot. So it kind of hit me. But, you know, I've adjusted, you know, as far as, you know, the football, you know, it carries over. But, you know, I've adjusted to the city life and everything. So, you know, I can't complain.
What'd you think of the play? Just getting your feel for what's going on college football. What'd you think of the play of the Auburn Alabama game?
Oh, that was crazy. Me and Rocky was watching the game, and you know, I had a feeling that, you know, the guy that he was going to return it because it was such a long field goal, and you know, that was a great play that I'll probably be remembered forever.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that one certainly will not be forgotten by Auburn fans. They won't let Alabama forget it ever.
Now, there was a rumor that did you go back to Seattle during the off week for the Oregon game?
I did.
Yeah? Now, how does that work? Because we got some Oregon State guys. We got some Oregon guys. We got a couple Southern Cal guys. We got some Cal guys.
Mm-hmm.
How does all that work on during the week? Because does Drew Davis get in your ear the week of the Oregon game?
Yeah, Drew, he's always talking, you know, because I actually played against Drew for 2 years, I think, when he was at Oregon. So, so he's always, you know, in my ear about it. But, yeah, everybody's always talking about the old schools. You know, we love watching our old teams go out there and play.
All right, tell me about the uniform phenomenon. And it obviously was born at Oregon, but everybody – seems like everybody in the Pac-12, you guys have broken out some pretty sweet unis.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a big part of the recruiting process and going to a school? Because we hear that the uniforms play into the mix.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, just that's one of the pieces, you know, but – for me, you know, it was more about – I mean, I visited Oregon. I seen all the facilities, all the cool things they have. I mean, it's unbelievable. So that definitely can lure a young kid, you know, into committing to that school.
That's interesting. You're off to a great start. Congratulations on a good rookie season. Good luck here finishing in December. Schmitty told us now you guys have been challenged to finish strong here, huh?
Mm-hmm, yeah, definitely. That's been – Coach definitely been talking about that. You know, you're remembering what you do last. So, you know, we just got to continue to work hard in practice and hopefully we'll keep getting the same results.
Don't forget, Falcon fans, the Falcons did score a touchdown in the fourth quarter, so you can save $150 instantly on four tires and an alignment today only. Got to get to Kauffman Tire to take advantage. $150 instantly, four tires and an alignment at Kauffman Tire.
And the Falcons will be in Green Bay at Lambeau Field on Sunday at 1 o'clock. Got to be pretty keyed up about Lambeau Field, right?
Yeah, definitely. A lot of history there. And I know it's cold there, too, so got to be ready for that.
What's the coldest it's been for you?
I've actually played in a Pullman, Washington, and it gets pretty cold there. It was probably in the teens or the low degrees. So.
I think what you're going to get this weekend, the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field.
Mm-hmm. Definitely have a long sleep.
I will tell you this, and having been to now every stadium in the NFL, it's one of, and Dave played in the league and has been to a bunch of college stadiums too. It's one of two or three NFL stadiums that have the college atmosphere.
That's cool.
It's like a college game.
Go make you a couple of plays.
Yeah, definitely.
I hear you. Thank you.
Great to
have
Desmond Trufant here in our player segment of the Mike Smith Show on a Monday. Don't forget, the Falcons and Packers is Sunday at 1 o'clock, and our coverage starts with AT&T's countdown to kickoff at 11 a.m. Green Bay 5-6-1. And Atlanta, of course, now at 3-9 after the victory in overtime yesterday over the Buffalo Bills. Thanks, Arch, as always. Appreciate it. Thanks to Desmond Trufant and the Falcon head coach Mike Smith. Stay tuned. More Archer and Bell with John Michaels coming up on Victory Monday at Flowery Branch after this on Sports Radio 790 The Zone.